In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The challenge for the preacher today was to find a theme which linked the three readings we have heard. Jonah, angry because when he finally reached Nineveh, the people repented too easily. Paul, in prison, saying he'd had enough of missionary work. And a parable which would have anyone who has ever campaigned for equal pay back on the barricades. Jonah and Paul. Jonah is told by God to go to Nineveh. His response is that of any sensible person, told to take the news of its imminent doom to a hostile city. He heads off in the opposite direction. Eventually, after his adventures with the big fish, realizing he can't escape from God and God's plan for him, he acquiesces and goes to Nineveh. Paul's reaction was the opposite. After his encounter with God in Christ on the road to Damascus, his mission is, to him, clear. He follows Christ to the best of his ability. But being human, with some complaint such as that in today's reading. And the householder, God who goes to the marketplace morning, noon, and evening to find labourers who will work in the vineyard, his kingdom here on earth. God's call, vocation, a strong feeling of suitability for a particular career or occupation is different for everyone. Everyone here has been called by God to be a disciple of Christ, or we wouldn't be here. But for each of us, God's call is personal, different, sometimes complex. It's the timing and the outworking of that call which makes it distinctly ours. In the Church of England, particularly in the Catholic tradition, we tend to think of vocations as being called to ordained or read a ministry. Some experience a call like that of Paul, clear, compelling, immediate. But for others, the call is not always clear, and the response is reluctant. In my case, many years ago, my former PhD supervisor said, "I suppose you'll be going into the church." My immediate reaction was, "What?" At that time, we had undergone a reorganization at work, and I was too busy investigating epidemic strains of Staphylococcus aureus to give what I thought at the time was an off-the-cuff remark, more than cursory consideration. Over time, though, the thought kept coming back. Family circumstances were such that I put it to one side. And it wasn't until recently, when Father Mark Lowther asked me my age, and then asked if I'd ever thought of ministerial training of some sort, that I thought I'd better find out if I was imagining things or I was really being called to go forward for reader training. But for many, and this was my experience, the immediate call is not to ministry within the church, but to a particular profession. It was years before I realized that because I had never really wanted to be anything but a microbiologist, this job was, for me, at that time, my vocation. A friend of mine, interested in puzzles from childhood, read mathematics and became a code breaker, all she could imagine doing. And I have known many people, of all faiths or none, who knew, whether or not they could articulate it, that their particular job was their vocation, what they had to do. In a recent report, Setting God's People Free, the Lay Ministry Working Group of the Church of England recognised yet again that the laity make up 98% of the membership of the Church of England, and that their calling is to remain in the laity, living out their Christian vocation as a member of a congregation in parallel with a calling to secular employment. The same report also acknowledges that if the Church of England, the established church, is effectively to serve all God's people within and without the church, the discipleship of the forgotten 98% must be nurtured. There must, in other words, be a paradigm shift in thinking which recognises that because all Christians are called to be disciples of Christ, to live that discipleship in the diversity of their daily lives, a way must be found to help them express their discipleship in the context of that diversity and to give them the tools to communicate it to others. Don't worry. We are not going to be asked to evangelize aggressively in our daily lives or to think how to express our Christianity in the workplace, at the school gate. The Catholic tradition of living one's faith, not talking about it, is embedded in all of us. Rather, we are going to be asked to think how we can build our confidence to talk about it in response to direct questions. In our tradition of the Church of England, there may be little formal instruction in our faith post-confirmation. And if confirmed recently, there may have been little pre-confirmation. The emphasis now on being how we apply our faith to our everyday lives. If we are to be effective in our discipleship, we should all, including me, make some attempt to unpack the creedal statements which we recite regularly. If we don't, we may be stymied when someone asks us what is distinct about Christianity. And we need to know about the Bible. Some of you will have gathered that a current obsession of mine, and blame the Bible in context modules at St. Melita's College, is the dating and authorship of the Christian canon. Some years ago, before I retired, an atheist who worked in the same laboratory as I did asked me how I could believe in the Bible, as there were so many internal contradictions. In this context, it is the inspired word of God would not have been a useful reply. Instead, a quick synopsis of source criticism was enough to make her think. The idea that it is acceptable to study scripture as one would any other text was new to her. It may all, as she maintained, be in our heads, but she could no longer claim that we did not use those heads. On another occasion, when a colleague with a background in genomics told me that Paul hadn't written all the letters attributed to him, I could say that biblical scholars already knew this because the program he, my colleague that is, not St. Paul, used to identify foreign DNA in a bacterial genome was derived from that used for linguistic analyses. And when the program had been applied to Paul's canonical writings, the differences in style were marked enough to indicate different authorship. He didn't become a believer. This would be the work of the Holy Spirit, but became more receptive to the concept of religious belief, and in fact wrote one of my references when I applied to St. Melitus for training. And there are the sudden moments when, in the midst of reading or writing, one is overwhelmed by the immenseness of God, of the vast and infinitely beautiful and intricate universe we inhabit, which we inhabit because God loves us so much that he created both us and it. And the other times, when the enormity of the incarnation illuminates the text we are reading, when the network of our relationships with each other in Christ can be seen as a web of light surrounding everything. Here at St. Peter's, part of our mission action plan is to form disciples of Jesus Christ, one aspect of which is to give us the tools to talk about our faith. The work of the adult formation group has been slow to start, though we are already in a better position than we have been for a decade. There are two main strands in our provision for adults. There is the monthly faith group, which discusses, through reading Bible passages, how we apply our faith to our lives. And there is the pilgrim course, which discusses the foundations of our faith. A pilgrim course, for anyone who may be interested, begins on the 16th of October, and we hope that some who attend will present themselves for confirmation by Bishop Pete on Mothering Sunday. Pilgrim will meet weekly to begin with and will continue monthly in the spring. Next year, in addition to the faith group and pilgrim, we'll have our usual Lent course and are open to suggestions about which book we could read and discuss. And there is also the possibility of a more traditional Bible study group. If anyone is interested in the latter, please say so and indicate whether a daytime or an evening meeting would be preferable. Please take the time to think about how we may respond to our vocation to be a disciple of Christ in today's world, how we might equip ourselves both for our own discipleship and to communicate our faith to the others we meet in our daily lives. Amen.